tonight. How many of y'all engaged in the spiral this last week? All right, a few of y'all. I got a couple of really cool testimonies from other people that were talking to me about engaging it and some really cool stuff that happened. Next week, I think that we're probably going to open it up, like Sean said, for a little bit of question and answer session, and then just testimonials, people, anybody who wants to share that's had cool experiences the last couple of weeks with it can share their story next week. So that'll be a cool thing. So if anybody wants to do that, just be thinking about it. In the next couple of weeks, as you are engaging your spiral and starting to pray through it, there's bound to be questions that come up, so just jot them down during the week and bring them with you next Saturday, and we'll do the best we can to address it. If I know the answer, I'll tell you. If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know, and then we'll come into agreement in prayer with it. One thing to remember, and I might have said this last week, I don't know, but one thing to remember when you're dealing with new revelation and, you know, whether it's here, whether you're going to an Ian conference, whether you're at Bethel, wherever you're at, and you're receiving an impartation or you're receiving new revelation, a really important thing to remember is in the kingdom, you're held just as accountable for the things that you don't do as you are for the things that you do do. So when you're receiving this stuff, you're going to be held accountable for it. So I would just encourage everybody to start practicing, start engaging it, and let Holy Spirit guide you from there. So last week was just kind of, like I was telling everybody, a foundation. So we would have a framework and a grid for this to rest on the inside of us. Tonight, we're going for it, okay? Tonight is going to tweak. I'm going to say some things tonight that's going to tweak a lot of the mindsets in this room. So I'm just going to give y'all that warning up front, okay? If that starts happening and there's a religious mindset anywhere in us, it's going to get stretched and twisted tonight, okay? If that starts happening, the only thing I ask of you is instead of completely rejecting it, just take it, set it to the side, and later tonight or this week or whenever you feel led, take it, put it before the Father, and let the Father help you work it out. Or just ask the Father, what am I supposed to do with this? And let him unpack it for you. It's much better to do that than just to immediately just reject it because it's tweaking something that's going on. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to believe or to introduce new doctrine or anything like that. The office that the Father has called me in is just to receive revelation from him and then to release it to the body, okay? From that point on, it's your responsibility to take that and to take it to the Father and to let him unpack it in your own life, okay? Now, because of position in ATR, you know, I'm here to help steward that and to do the best I can to help you unpack that, but it's really a personal responsibility. All right, so what we're going to do first tonight is we're going to briefly recap last week. So for the people that weren't here, you'll get a little bit caught up. The microphone just go out? Okay. So for the people that weren't here, you can get a little bit caught up. We did a little over an hour teaching last week. So there's no way I'm going to catch you up and 10 minutes here, but we'll do the best we can so at least there's a little bit of a footwork or framework to start tonight with. All right, so we're talking about the spiral of time and generations. Time is a false construct, okay? It's a false construct of our true reality as a spirit being. At creation, two realms were merged into one reality, the spirit realm and the natural realm. Okay, Adam coexisted in both of those simultaneously. That was from creation up until the fall. God created the sun, the moon, And he gave us a rotation in orbit, which created a way to track day and night, seasons, etc., and what we now call time. But Adam was not enslaved to it. He was given authority over it, and he was given authority over all things in this realm. All right? So Adam operated in time, and he stewarded it, but he also operated outside of time because he coexisted in both realms. And we're going to go deeper into that tonight. I didn't go too much into it last week for that reason, because tonight's really is when we're going to hit on that. After the fall, man became a slave to time. At the cross, through Jesus, and remember that we talked about the beginning of last week, everything we do goes through Jesus. He is the only legal access. Our inheritance was restored, and our spirit was transferred from darkness to light. Our spirits are made alive, and we are in Christ, who is in the Father. So now that our spirits are transferred, we're in the Father. Okay, this is at the salvation point. Transferred from darkness to light, we're in the Father. Now we are no longer enslaved to time. Okay? Jesus restored back what was lost under Adam. He restored back our inheritance so we can once again move outside of time. So with this, the Father started giving me a better understanding of really how we're supposed to be viewing time. So just very quickly, the top section there is the Greek mindset. That's the way most of us think about time, that time is linear. That's a lie. Time is not linear. I feel like I have my back to you guys over here. Past, present, future. A plus B plus C equals D. Okay? The bottom left here is the Hebrew mindset. It's the way Hebrews think about time. Time goes in a circle. Okay, this is a little bit better of a representation of what time actually is. The seasons of the year. We talked about the ring of the trees, all of those types of things. Every end has a new beginning. Okay? Now, what the Father did to me to start this is he took the center point of that Hebrew mindset and he just pulled it straight down the first time I ever saw the spiral in the Spirit. Okay, he just pulled it straight down. It creates this spiral that's on the right. That spiral is the sun mindset. That's how a manifest sun is supposed to be viewing time. Okay? We talked about the purpose of the spiral last week, but in any time setting, this is how a sun is supposed to view it. We're not supposed to think about the timeline anymore. Okay? Again, it's the circular time. A plus B plus C equals C plus B plus A. Everything rotates. Everything revolves. All right, so now let's get into the individual spiral. Okay, the individual spiral we focused on last week is made up of two sections. It's the lifespan spiral and the generational spiral, or the lifespan section, the generational section, however you want to phrase that. Each and every one of us has a individual spiral that is unique to us. Okay? The lifespan portion of that spiral is the number of your age plus one. That is from conception to your current age. We talked a lot about the conception to birth, which is that layer zero. It's that first layer in there, is probably the most important layer in your lifespan spiral. Again, that's where two worlds are merged. You're in the spirit, and you're being wrapped in a human body in the natural realm. Okay, so your spirit's actually transversing two different dimensions at the same time during that whole conception womb portion. That's also when you're getting your DNA encoding from your father and from your mother. So there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that portion that's very important to pray over. And when you start going in and redeeming your bloodline, praying through your DNA and your chromosomes and the corrupt seed, all of that stuff, very important piece of time there. All right, below that, from conception down to the fall, that's your generations. So in the lifespan spiral, again, current age to conception, when you're praying through and you're interacting this section of your individual spiral, each layer is a year. It's a year of your life. So as you're praying down through it, that's how you interact with it. You know, I go layer 35, layer 34, layer 33. Those are the years of your life all the way down to birth and then into the womb and then into conception. The generational spiral, you can start it at conception and then go back again all the way, go all the way, the generations back to the fall. In this particular section of it, each layer is one generation. Okay? Okay, so on the journey, as the Father started taking me on this journey, just praying through the spiral layer by layer, again, lifespan is 1 year, generation is one generation. Just continue praying down through this. What we talked about last week is just imagining yourself walking down the spiral, kind of like the little graph shows there, the man walking down. Just envision yourself walking down the spiral, praying through it. One thing I don't think I mentioned last week, and again, this is just gets back to interacting up and down your spiral. When you're praying down through time, it's a counterclockwise motion. You're walking in a counterclockwise. That's the way the spiral comes down. That's going down into time. If you go up into time, that is in a clockwise rotation going up. So when you're going into future time, if you're in one of your lower layers and you're coming up, just little tidbits there to help you when you're praying through it. When you're going down through here, you're going to encounter two different things, typically. One of them is, I call them plugs, but you might seem a little bit different. But you're going to encounter black plugs and red plugs. We talked about that in depth last week. But the black plugs are the corrupt seed. Okay. The red plugs are the soul issues, the soul wounds. Those are the two big important things that block our generational spiral. The soul wounds, there was three targets that we talked about last week in the soul wounds. One was original sin, one was generational sin and illegal trafficking or trading in your generations, and then the third one was sin in your lifespan portion of the spiral. So as you're going through this, all things are going to have to be revealed in order to be restored. We talked about that. Just remember that. So as things are manifesting in your life, it's for a reason. They're manifesting so that they can be revealed so you can restore them, so we can deal with them. The process of interacting with the spiral for soul healing is to mature us from a saint to a son. Okay? As you begin to pray through your spiral, anything connected to a layer that will prevent you from becoming reaware of your true self is going to be manifested. And I say reaware there because that's what this is about, is going back and remembering who you are, okay? The full purpose of engaging the spiral is to embark on that journey of self-discovery, is to keep going down through the spiral to become reaware of who you were before the foundation of the earth, okay? We're all born under that false identity because of original sin, because of our corrupt seed that we talked about. And again, that corrupt seed is Genesis 6 is the foundation for that. So y'all can go back and we either download last week's message, go back to Genesis 6 and start reading there, just start praying through it. Through the environment that we're born into, our parents, our extended family, those types of things, through society, media, school, church, pop culture, all of those types of things continue to wrap this false identity, this false narrative around us that we're already born with. The largest purpose of the spiral is dealing with and engaging our identity. At the bottom of the spiral lies our true self, our true self-conscience. That's what's at the bottom of the spiral here. Okay, the entire foundation is unique to each and every one of us, and it's all made up of our true identity. So when we're praying down through the spiral, we get down to the fall, we pray through the fall, we get on the foundation. The foundation is our true consciousness, who we were before the foundation of the world. That's who the Father wants us to become fully aware of. Okay, he delights in that creation. He wants us to delight in that creation that pleases him. Okay, and there's a lot of other reasons why we want to get to that stage as well, which we talked a little bit about last week. We're going to go into depth with it tonight. All right, so that's the 10-minute recap for an hour-long message last week. So hopefully that did some good for people that were not here. It's on the website. You can download it. I'm trying to keep the cough down. Last week, I read a quote by Julian Norwick to kind of end it, and that was the teaser for this week. I'm going to reread that quote because it's just amazing how it fits in and how Holy Spirit just kind of orchestrated all of that into what he wants to reveal through this message. For those of y'all that weren't here last week, Julian Norwick was an English anchorist. She lived in the late Middle Ages. It was mid-1300s to early 1400s. She's known as one of the early Christian mystics, but she had amazing raptures into heaven, some really cool interactions with the Father. And in the late 1300s, she wrote a book called The Revelation of Divine Love. And the book was pretty much just a documentation of all of her experiences in the Spirit. So this quote comes out of that book. It says, "And so the Blessed Trinity endlessly rejoices in the making of the human being, for he saw without beginning what would delight him without end." All right, she wrote this in the late 1300s. And this is some of the stuff that we're just now stepping into. I mean, that's pretty amazing. And I didn't realize it until later in the week, Virginia, but last week during worship, you know, there was two main things that the Holy Spirit was releasing. One was the manifest sons, and the other one was consecration. I think he kept singing that consecration over and over again. And I didn't pick it up or realize it till later in the week, but that's what a lot of this was. Julian and Norwick was an anchorist. They live, for those of you not sure what that is, they would isolate themselves in a small, like, jail cell, and that's what they lived in. And normally it was attached to a side of a church building or something like that. But they pretty much lived, you know, by choice, obviously, most of their time in this cell, most of their adult life, because they wanted to be completely consecrated unto the Father. They didn't want any distractions. They didn't want, you know, human distractions, anything. And so for a majority of the time, they would live in these little bitty cells. And she was one of those that had this quote, you know, and that's really what the Holy Spirit was releasing last week, consecration, manifest sons. And we got into a lot of the manifest sons last week as it relates to the spiral. All right, so we get down to the foundation last week, and we understand that the foundation is made up of our true identity, who we really are, who we were created before the foundation of the world, okay? At this point in the original vision, when I was getting this, the foundation started forming the shape of a triangle. Okay, and you can see it here on the graphic on the screen. You can see this triangle that the base is starting to form. When that base started getting revealed, I started praying into that identity and just asking the Father, okay, what's this triangle base that's starting to form? As I was praying into that, all right, well, this is really hard to see, probably because the lights are too bright. But in this image, there actually is some really faint lines that come up like this. What those are is, as I was praying into the base, he started showing these other triangles that were floating around. One would be here coming up. The other one was on this side coming up, and the one was in this front coming up. Let me just go to the next slide. So these triangles started forming, okay? And as I begin to just engage it and ask the Father what they are, he started telling me that it's a tetrahedron. Okay, and it, because when I first saw it, I thought it was a pyramid, and it's not. That's why I put this slide in here. I wanted just to quickly explain the difference between a pyramid and a tetrahedron. A pyramid is a four triangles that make up a side around a square base. Okay, the Great Pyramids in Egypt, any obelisk that you see, the Washington Monument is just this on top of the column. All of those are a four sided triangle around a square base. A tetrahedron is different. A tetrahedron is a four-sided triangle. In a pure tetrahedron, they're all equilateral triangles. Okay? So you have the one face here, the face across the back, and then the fourth side of that would be the foundation that it's sitting on. All right, everybody see that? All right. So the tetrahedron started to form, and it started to form around that base of our true identity. So what the Father began to show me as I just kept asking, and again, another important point here when you're engaging some of this stuff, when you come up against a question, I mean, luckily right now, everybody here has someone that can help them guide through it. But when you're engaging a revelation that no one can help you with, you have to ask the Father, 100% rely on the Holy Spirit. So just keep asking him questions as you're engaging. That's how this works. All right, so I'm asking the Father, what does this mean? I'm seeing the tetrahedron, I'm seeing the triangles. What's going on? How does that fit in with our true identity? So this is what he started showing me. The three co-equal sides, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being co-equal. All right, so you see Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the three sides of this tetrahedron. They're all equilateral triangles. Okay, they're all co-equal. An equilateral triangle is perfect in its size. It's perfectly equal to itself and then to each other as it goes around. All right, those three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, form the foundation, which we've already established as our true identity, which is a perfect reflection of the three. The dimensions are exactly the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cast a shadow or a base that are exactly equal to themselves. The fourth face, again, which is our foundation, which is our true identity. The fourth face of man is perfectly dimensioned to the other three sides. Numbers have a meaning throughout Scripture, and I'm sure all of us are aware of that. The number four, coincidentally, not. The number four represents creation. All right, so anytime you see the number four in a Bible, it represents creation. It's because on the fourth day, God created the natural universe. Okay, so again, this just plays up right along with that. That four being the number of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the fourth face being man. We are the perfect reflection of the Trinity. We are the shadow that the Trinity casts and the Father fills. Genesis 1:26 says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule. All right, God made man in their image. When he was showing me this, that's just a graphic representation of that verse. Okay? Once we realize our true identity as a son created in his perfect image, a shadow cast in this dimension, then we will begin to rule and reign in this dimension the way we were originally created to be. All right, we talked about the purpose of the spiral is to get to your true identity. Your true identity as a manifested son. Part of that true identity is realizing that you're created in the image of the Trinity. You're a perfect replica. We're not talking about man after the fall, because we've already redeemed that. We've already gone through the whole spiral. We're talking about man created before the foundation of the world. We're talking about our true self-consciousness. This was the whole point of the journey, to remember who we are, the perfect reflection of the Trinity, the perfect reflection of the Son of Man. Our generational and soul wounds, as well as a false identity, keep us from seeing the fourth face. But when we work through the spiral and come into the awareness of who we are, that is when we see the foundation clearly and we begin to step into our destiny. All right. So, again, we've got to understand who we really are. That's just so important, and that's the whole purpose of this process. So, continuing on with the original vision. So, after the tetrahedron started forming, the Father was revealing me just a deeper understanding of our true identity, okay, of the fourth face of the Trinity. I started seeing the foundation of the tetrahedron start opening up. Now, in the original vision, when I was seeing this, the tetrahedron started opening up. I started to step through it, and then it ended, and I didn't see it beyond that. And it took probably about a week, because by this time I'm kind of fried after seeing all of this in one shot originally. But then after praying through it, stepping back in and reengaging, another helpful tip. When you're engaging stuff like this, if the vision ends, but you know that there's still more to it, re-engage it. Okay? Re-engage it. Give it a couple of days. Pray over it. Ask Holy Spirit, hey, when can I re-engage this? Let Him guide you. If you're kind of like me, you just keep going anyway. But always re-engage it. He'll open it back up. Okay? If you don't re-engage it, then you're going to be missing out on some key information. All right, so starts opening back up. As I started re-engaging it, this verse came back to my memory. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Our true identity, the true self, waiting at the foundation of the spiral, are the ancient doors. Each of us is an ancient door that is being called to be lifted up for the kings of glory, or for the King of glory, to be released in this realm. The lifting up is what happens when we step onto the foundation, into the awareness of ourselves. Our true self begins to lift up, stand up, wake up. Okay? And as our true self, as our true consciousness begins to awaken, that's that lifting up. Lift up your heads, O you gates. All right, just imagine yourself sleeping like this, and all of a sudden your self-awareness just starts lifting up its head, going, whoa. Whoa, I'm alive. I'm coming alive. Okay? When that happens is when the foundation begins to open up. When you're lifting up your head, when you're lifting up your gate, the foundation starts opening up. Lift up your heads. That is the awakening of our true consciousness. It's the awakening of us, the ancient doors. There's 7 billion people in this earth. That's 7 billion ancient gates. Okay, a little over 2 billion of those are Christians. Imagine what would happen if all those ancient doors, 2 billion of them, opened up. We wouldn't be worrying about the economy or talking about the Illuminati or talking about any of the other stuff that we talk about. We wouldn't be talking about hitting the escape hatch. Uh-oh. There we go. How many journey to the foundation of the spiral and become self-aware? Not many. I can probably think of, just off the top of my head, maybe less than 5 that I would know that are probably actually walking at that level. And I don't even know if I can name five. I can name two. I'm sure there's probably five. But how many just lay flat and never lift up, stay asleep, never even realizing who they are? Okay, that's our job. God's given this revelation. We're releasing the revelation. Now it's our job to pray into it, make it our own, and then release it. Help other people come into this awareness. All right, so now let's go through. Is everybody still with me, or did I just lose everybody? Okay. I know this is, I'm talking fast and it's kind of going fast, but you can download it later. All right. So now let's step in through the portal and see what's on the other side. And all of this stuff, all these slides and these images, we're going to put on the website probably tomorrow or Monday. And so you'll be able to download these in PDF form. And my suggestion would be to go back and I know there's a lot of information here. Just go back, download the teaching, listen to it. You'll be able to have these in front of you at home and make notes on them. And just really start unpacking it on your own at the house. Okay, so what was and what should be? That's what's on the other side of the portal. All right, so we're the gate. Lift up you head, O you gates. That's awakening our self-conscious, awakening our true self-awareness. We step through the gate into the other side. For right now, because the Father has not given me a better term, for right now, this other side here, okay, I'm calling this the true creation dimension. This top piece in the graphic is the time spiral that is in this realm. This is what we're currently in right here, okay? We reached the foundation of the time spiral here. This is our true self-consciousness, okay? We lift up our heads, O gates. We realize we've come into the agreement that we're the fourth face of the Trinity, that we're a perfect reflection of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, now there's a lot to that. I've got probably another 16 pages of notes just on the tetrahedron, just on the fourth face. That's a rabbit trail that could keep going for a really long time, and maybe we'll get into that some other time, but that's just a huge thing I want y'all to grasp of how powerful that is of who we are as the fourth face of the Trinity. All right, so back to this. So the gate opens up. We step into the gate. On the other side of the gate, now we're in another dimension. This dimension is that what I'm, for now, calling the true creation dimension. This is the dimension that is made up of what was at creation before the fall and what should be for a manifest son. Jesus operated out of this dimension. This is where he operated from. Okay? His gate was wide open. He was operating out of that dimension, and he was releasing it into this dimension. We're supposed to live continually out of that dimension as a manifest son. It's the dimension that the Father originally created for man. What we live in now is a distorted version. It's a matrix of that dimension. Okay, what distorted it was the fall. What further distorted it? Genesis 6. Okay. The construct for the true creation dimension is the spirit realm and the natural realm without genealogy and without original sin merged together. That's the construct that makes up this dimension right here. Again, it's the dimension that Adam originally walked in. The realm of the spirit, the natural realm without genealogy and without original sin overlapping on top of each other. Okay, they're perfectly merged. It's a perfect reflection of the pre-fall Adam, a created son without mother, without father. We truly are a manifest son of God when we enter into that dimension. I want to read you a couple of verses. Jesus entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. A few verses later, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of Man, he remains a priest perpetually. When we reach our true identity, when we lift up the ancient door and step through the ancient door, we become who we were after, or we become who we were before father, before mother, before bloodline. When we reach that state, we will then begin to step into the order of Melchizedek and become likened unto the Son of Man. I can feel some twisting going on. Okay, there's nothing weird about that. We're created in their image. Okay, this is what the Father wants for us. He wants us to get this. He wants us to understand it. He wants us to know that we can access what was before the fall, that we can walk in the dimension that was originally created for us, that this is a distorted dimension that we're in now. It's a matrix. It's a hologram. It's not real. What's real is this dimension right here. Our spirit lives in the spirit realm and operates from that realm. As soon as we get saved, we talked about it last week, as soon as we get saved, we're transferred from darkness into light. Okay, our spirit is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're in Christ. Christ is in the Father. We're in the Father. Our spirit is currently, right now, conducting business, doing something in the realm of the spirit, while our human consciousness is here listening to me. Okay? Our spirit, because it's alive in the spirit realm, and because it's unto perfection, is very much aware of this dimension right here, and can operate in and out of it anytime he wants to. Okay? The purpose of praying through the spiral and reaching the foundation, realizing we are the fourth face of the Trinity, a perfect reflection, and that we are the ancient door being lifted up, and the stepping through that door into that dimension is getting our human consciousness there. I'll let that sink in for a second. Our spirit's already there. Our spirit can come in and out of that dimension whenever it wants. It's getting our human consciousness aware of it and getting our human consciousness across the door and into that realm. Once our human consciousness is there, the two realms can merge completely. You can become fully aware of coexisting in two realities simultaneously, merged into one. That's that dimension, the true creative dimension. Is everyone still with me? It is possible to be completely aware of being in two different dimensions at the same time. A while back, there's been two experiences in my own life that this has happened. Well, there's been three. Two of them I've shared here. I think, well, Sean might have shared one of them. But anyway, it was very disorienting. One time it happened to me in my office. The other time it happened to me on a plane. Okay? In both of those cases, I was fully aware of my spirit. I could see him. I could see what was going on around him. He was conducting business in the kingdom. And I was completely aware of being in the spirit, my spirit being, and what he was interacting with and what he was doing, at the same time, 100% aware of my human consciousness in this realm and what I was doing and what was going on around me. It didn't last for very long. You know, when we were talking maybe 15 seconds or something like that. It wasn't very long. It seemed like an eternity when it's happening to you because it's very disorienting. And at the time, I didn't understand. I was talking to Sean. I had told Sean about the experiences, and I wasn't really sure why they were happening or what was going on with it. But I felt in my spirit at that time that this is the future of what we're supposed to be walking in. And Sean and I had a couple of conversations about that. This was before all of this, okay? When all of this started manifesting and I started getting this revelation here, it all gelled and came together, okay? That was a foreshadowing event that the Father was showing me, preparing me for what he wanted to show here. That's the reality of what we will be walking in the future. All right, now the third time it happened to me was fairly recent. I had already been engaging this. And, excuse me. I had already been engaging with the spiral and with the true created dimension, just praying through it, engaging it. And I was laying on my couch one afternoon. And as I'm sitting there laying on my couch engaging, my spirit man reached through, which a hole probably that big, a little bitty hole. And he reached through and he grabs me and starts trying to pull me through. Now, I'm not a small guy. So it was very weird. Okay. So he's pulling me through and it's like this distorting my body. And it's weird and it's uncomfortable. And I can just feel him just pulling it through my human consciousness. Okay. And I'm like, what is going on, God? This is just bizarre. And so he finally gets me all the way through. When he gets me all the way through, I'm still in this realm, okay? But now, instead of me being on my couch, I'm floating outside in my house. And I'm probably about 30, 35 feet above the house. It's still my neighborhood. I'm seeing my house. I'm seeing my street. I'm seeing Shauna Virginia's house. I'm seeing the house on the corner. I'm seeing all of this going on. I'm seeing the kids play. But I'm up high. I'm looking down. The colors were so much more intense. The way we view color is very muted. This was much more surreal, much more intense as far as the color goes. And I was perfectly aware of my spirit and my human consciousness coexisting right there. Okay? That's this dimension. That's what he had pulled me through, just to give me an example of what it's going to look like. Okay, that's the dimension that you're still interacting. You're still interacting with this reality, but you're interacting with it with your human consciousness and your spirit merged. Okay. Since the true creation dimension is a combination of the natural and the spirit, that is why we still see this spiral. Okay? Now, this spiral is a little bit different. It's still there because the time construct is still there, because we're still dealing with 50% of the natural realm. God's still, you know, time itself isn't corrupt. Okay? It's the interaction with time that's corrupt because of the fall. But God has still made the sun and the moon and the stars, the orbits, all of that stuff before the fall, okay? So he still wanted a construct of time in the perfected dimension. So that's why we still see this time here. However, on this side, we're interacting with it completely differently, okay? We're reacting or interacting with it without father, without mother, without genealogy, likened unto the Son of Man. So we're traveling up the spiral pure, without original sin. Okay? That's the what was and what should be. When we're going up through the spiral in our current realm, the matrix realm I'm calling it, when we're going up into this spiral right here, again, we're going up through this with all of the junk. Okay? So the further that we get, this being the fall right here, anything before that's creation. Okay? Anything below the foundation is pre-creation, created before the foundation of the world. So from that moment all the way up, we're de-evolving. It's a de-evolving process. Humanity is in a de-evolving process. Okay, we're not smarter than what we were in the Egyptian days. We're dumber. This is a de-evolving. That's why when you look at cultures like the Mayans, the Egyptians, all of that stuff, and you know, science can't even figure out how they built the pyramids. You know, we don't even have technology today that can lift some of that stuff. Well, they did back then. Frequency. Other things that were taught to them by the fallen sons. Right? So, just think about that for a second. Look, go back down to this, you know, some of these generations early on, okay? And all the feats that they're into. Why were they able to accomplish that? They were closer to point zero. They hadn't de-evolved as much as we have. They were closer to the ancient technologies. They were closer to what was in the earth at that time that hadn't been even further diluted, okay? So as we travel down the spiral here, praying through it, we're actually evolving as we get closer. Now, when we flip into the true created dimension here, as we go up the spiral, we're evolving because we're evolving pure. We're evolving without father, without mother, without genealogy. We're evolving without corrupt seed. Okay? And that's what this last slide is here. It's the exact same image, just flipped. Okay? And this is the true created dimension here. And you can see as you go up, you're evolving. This zero point is a very interesting point. I'm not going to talk too much about it tonight. Maybe during question and answer session next week, we'll talk about it. But that zero point is very, it's very interesting. That's at that point where that portal starts opening up. And you're moving so fast at that point at such a high frequency that it creates perfect stillness. It's a very interesting place. So when you encounter it, let me know. Talk about it. In the true creative dimension, we evolve as we move up the spiral. We already talked about that. We are supposed to live out of that true created dimension, and we're supposed to release the glory into this one. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. I mentioned that last week. Okay, how is that knowledge going to be released? Signs, wonders, miracles. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Enoch, all of those guys released amazing things. We read about them in the Old Testament. They released amazing things on this earth. They released them so that the people would beware of the knowledge or be aware of the glory of the Father. They changed nations. They altered history. Incredible signs and wonders and miracles. And they're not even an nth of what we are. Not even close to what we are. They lived under a dead, old covenant. They didn't have Holy Spirit. Their inheritance hadn't been restored to them. Think about that, guys. I mean, think about all the stuff that the patriarchs did in the Old Testament, and they're not even close to what we are. Why aren't we doing those same things? Why aren't we releasing it? That's what the Father wants from us. Okay, I mean, we really have to understand that. We really have to understand who we are and what our inheritance is. Everything that Moses did, you could do a million times better. So let that sink in this week as you're engaging this stuff. And even if you don't want to take into account the old covenant and the patriarchs and all that, Jesus walked through walls, raised the dead, translated, healed the sick. He healed everybody he touched. He healed body, soul, and spirit in one shot. Cast out demons. You can't even list however many. Let me read you this verse out of John. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Okay, John wrote that talking about Jesus, obviously. Jesus did so many things that if everything was recorded, the world would not have enough room to hold the books that would have to be written. I mean, think about that. How amazing is that? How many signs, wonders, miracles is that? Talk about terraforming the earth. Right? All right, now let me read you one more. This is from Jesus himself. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with that? So even if you don't believe me with the how we are compared to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, believe Jesus. When he said, look, I did so many works that the world can't even hold the books. You know what? You're gonna not only are you gonna do those things, but you're gonna do even greater than that. That is our true identity. That's the true fourth face of the Trinity. That is what we're supposed to be walking in. You know, I can see in the spirit. I've got a pretty vivid imagination. And I can't even comprehend that. I can't even comprehend what that's going to look like. I mean, imagine, you know, forget the church as a whole. Imagine if just us in this room realized who we are as a gate. We lifted up our heads. We opened ourselves up. We crossed through to the other dimension. We started releasing that from that dimension through the ancient gates back into this world. Just with us in this room, the entire world wouldn't even stand a chance. We wouldn't be worried about a rapture. We wouldn't be worried about governments and nations. We would be stewarding. With us in this room, we could steward the entire planet. I know those are big thoughts, guys, but that's what God wants us to understand. That's who he wants us to be. That's what he wants us to walk in. All right, and it's time to get with the program, and let's get it going on. But it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take discipline. And when you start engaging some of this stuff, I'm living proof all hell's going to break loose in your life. If I was to sit here tonight and tell you what I've had to walk through the last 4 or 5 months, it would shock a lot of people in this room. But you know what? It's worth it. Because God's given me the grace to do it, just like he'll give you the grace to do it. Because this is what he wants. All right, there's going to be stuff in your life, and I mentioned this last week. I'm going to mention it again. As you're engaging this, there's going to be things in your life that might be comfortable to you, that you've been with a long time, whatever the case may be, that he's going to take and he's going to shake them out of your life. And then you're going to have to make a choice to either hang on to it or to submit. Hang on to it because it's comfortable and it's easy and I'll just get along. Or to say, okay, Father, this is going to be hard to go through it right now, but I'm going to come out on the other side because you're going to give me grace to come out on the other side. And I'm going to come out on the other side walking in this dimension. I'm going to come out the other side realizing who I am and what my identity is. That's the choice that you're going to have to make. But it's going to be very well worth it, I promise you. Jesus entered as a forerunner. This is in Hebrews. I'm reading the scripture. Jesus entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Same one I read earlier. I just wanted to point out a couple of things here, and this is the end. I'm going to wrap it up. The word forerunner here in the Greek, and I'm going to mispronounce this, but I'm going to try my best, is prodromos. Okay? That's the word for forerunner that's used there in the Greek. This is the only place in the entire Bible that word is used when they're calling Jesus a forerunner. This is the only one. Okay? This is what promos means. It means scout, guide. It means scout, guide, or one sent before a king to prepare the way. Let me read that again. Scout, guide, or one sent before a king to prepare the way. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the scout, the guide, and the one sent before a king to prepare the way. He prepared the way for us. Jesus is King of Kings. This word means the one sent before the king to prepare the way. We are the kings that he prepared the way for. That's how he can sit there and say, "And greater things you will do." And God, okay. Rhema says, "And God." Let's go up through the spiral, unraveling the false identity, the soul wounds, reach the foundation of your true identity, awaken your true self, lift up your head, O ancient doors. Step through into the realm, then rule and reign as the fourth face of the Trinity. That's what Jesus prepared the way for us. That's the forerunner. What was and what should be. That's the dimension that we're stepping into. And guys, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to close real quick. This is only the beginning. Okay? What I shared last week and what we talked about this week, that's only the beginning. That's only just to get us to the starting line. That's to get us re-aware of who we are, to get us into the other dimension, to get us to the starting line. So then we can begin our real journey. Hang on, Raymond. So then we can begin our real journey. All right. So, Father, I just thank you for your word that you released tonight. Father, I just pray to hedge of protection around this seed. Excuse me. In each and every one of us. That it will not be stolen by the enemy. That it be allowed to mature and to grow and to be stewarded. Father, I thank you for the revelation of our true identity of who we are. Of who we are in you and who you are in us. Father, right now we just consciously lift up our heads. We become aware that we're gates, Father. And we just lift up our heads. Oh, gates, just be lifted up for the King of Glory to come through. Father, I just bless each and every person in this room tonight. Father, I just bless them on their journey through their individual spiral. Father, on the journey to becoming re-aware of who they are. Father, I just pray for grace for everyone in this room as they embark on this journey. Just a supernatural grace, Father, just to be upon their lives and just cover them as they go through this. And Holy Spirit, just be their comforter and be their guide as they travel down the spiral, Father. Give them wisdom, give them discernment. I just thank you for all these things. I thank you for all things being revealed so that they can be restored. I thank you for who you created us to be before the foundation of the earth. I thank you, Father, for allowing us to make up the fourth face of the Trinity and for giving us the responsibility to steward it, to rule and to reign and to steward this false construct dimension and the one that we're stepping into. And Father, when we step into this new dimension and we become aware of who we are and we start flowing in and out, Father, just give us the grace, the power, the anointing to release signs, wonders, and miracles into this, in this false construct dimension, Father, and terraform it in the name of Jesus. Terraform it, Father, so we can release the glory to usher in the millennial reign. Father, we just thank you for all these things. And we just, again, I just pray a covering over all of us for this next week, Father, and just grace as we go through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Next week, guys, we're going to, originally I was going to pray, kind of re-engage with everybody tonight and pray through the spiral at the end, but I just don't feel like that's the right move for tonight. So what we're going to do next week is we'll have we'll start off with just a kind of a question and answer session. If anybody has any cool experience last week or this week engaging in it that you want to share, that'd be a good time to do it. So we'll just kind of do a sharing and question and answer session, however long that lasts. And then after that, we'll just wrap up. And I want to, you know, Virginia can play on the keyboard for a little bit, some background music or whatever, and we can just kind of enter in and engage all this together. The more we do as a community, the easier it's going to be to mature and to steward this stuff, okay? It's a lot harder when you're doing it on your own. When we can come together as a body, as a community, and we can lean on each other and do this together.